coming up on the Open Source Podcast with Tony Motley. We'll talk to a prolific writer and content creator who's increased traffic on every platform he's been associated with.
Well, to me, even before like Google started doing their ratings and crawling and things of that nature, for me, I always looked at it like, what will bring people to read it, keep their attention for as long as I can, and have them interested in wanting more. And I think that I don't have a particular formula. For me, it's just a gut feeling. And I guess I've been lucky where it's worked for me.
Cedric Big Sed Thornton is a well-connected content producer and writer who understands how to use storytelling to produce great content and to increase traffic. And he's done it with every property he's been associated with. Cedric Big Sed Thornton, welcome to Open Source.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope you're having a good day so far.
So far, so good. Now that we have you on the line, it's even better.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want, you know, starting out, I wanted to ask you this. When did you realize that you were a writer? When did you realize, when did that light come on? I'm good at this. I can do this.
Well, the funny thing is that even today, I've never considered myself a writer in the sense, but I'm also fooling myself by not admitting that I am. But I can't remember the exact year, but I was actually working at, where was it? At Hook.net, internet companies. Like, this was like way before like internet like was really a thing. And there was I don't know if you know who Carew Daniels is. He's another freelance writer. He writes for the New York Daily News, the Griot. He writes for a number of publications. Right. But he knew my connections in the hip hop game, and he introduced me to this guy named Barry Wade, who had a magazine at the time called One Nut. Now, coincidentally, I didn't find this out until later, but One Nut was the same magazine that Elliot Wilson from Rap Radar, and now presently, where he's at now, I forget where he's at now, but he actually was there, but I was there before him. But he asked me to interview Biggie Smalls without even asking for any writing samples or anything like that. And basically, based it on the connection I have with Carew. So I said, hey, that's no problem. Biggie's about to be like the biggest thing in hip hop. So that was my very first interview. And even with that interview, I had asked Biggie, where did he see himself in 10 years? He said, dead, because none of the people that I came up with lived past 25. 9 years later, he was dead. Which, wow. Like, at the time, I'm like, wow, you know, you really put it out there sometimes. But the light really went off. At that time, I interviewed several people, P-Rock and CL Smooth, Lord Finesse, many people where people were, like, digging my writing. And I started, when I got to a site, Impact Magazine, I believe that's when I started writing for another site where I started doing more editorial pieces. And I had a column called Politics as Usual. And it just took off and people enjoyed like reading. And I didn't consider myself a writer because I never took journalism class and I didn't have an interest in writing. This was one of those things that just came upon me and I just ran with it and I've been writing ever since. So, and along the way, because of my writing, I also was a music editor at Impact Magazine, chart manager, and I did pieces and reviews. So people started following me, and it just became a thing where I started writing for a site called thecrusade.net. And from there, I left them to start the Industry Cosign 16 years ago, and it's still around today.
Now, I mean, I don't want to get... because the resume seems deep and wide. I don't want to go there. But, I mean, let's talk about some of the highlights. I mean, obviously, Vibe Magazine. Where are some of the other platforms you've been on?
The Source, Impact Magazine, Black Planet, Interactive One, which is known as Urban One now. Of course, Black Enterprise. A number of smaller publications along the way. Blue Magazine, Davey D. I even did a couple of articles for All Hip Hop. Yeah, I can't. I mean, I've done so much that I can't even remember what I wrote yesterday, let alone 10, 15 years ago. But I think I have an extensive resume when it comes to, you know, my writing and the publications I have been blessed to write for and with.
Now, it's interesting that how long have you been doing the Black Enterprise thing?
Well, this is actually my third time writing for Black Enterprise. The first time, I believe, was in 2012. I had written for them. I freelanced for them for several months, stopped. Then about a year later, I believe, I started writing for them again, this time on staff. So I was actually going into the office until I think it was 2013. I can't remember the exact date. I was in front of my computer so I can look at the exact date. But the last time I wrote for them was about 6 years ago. And one of the guys that's working with them now, Justin Barton, he worked with me at Interactive One. So he started working at Black Enterprise. And within a month, he contacted me and asked me, would I like to write back at Black Enterprise? And I said, sure. I mean, Black Enterprise, I think is still one of my highlights on my resume simply because of what Black Enterprise always represented and how we've always looked at Black Enterprise as the go-to as black entrepreneurs. So it was exciting for me to write for Black Enterprise, and then to come back a third time is even better. And the funny thing is, I think that even this time around, I think I'm actually doing better. And from what I've been told, my writing has gotten better. At first, I got offended when people would tell me that, but I understood from the point of view of what they're saying, because I guess of the more intense writing that I'm doing now. Previously, I didn't have to write any more than 200 words. Now it's 350 at minimum. So I've learned how to express more with more words that I have to utilize now. So, but that's my Black Enterprise story. And of course, I'm still with them today.
And that you said something there that I wanted to get into. I think it might be lost on people a little bit, but you talked about the 200 word story. And that's really, that's kind of the baseline for a lot of the content that's online right now. This kind of brief stories, but you've kind of turned that into an art form. Let's talk about the strategy of the 200 word piece. How do you approach that?
Well, I still believe that brevity is best. Especially nowadays, you know, we live in a culture where, especially if they're actually reading, they want to get through and get to the point and then move on to the next thing. When I first started writing online, when I started Synergy Cosign, I was actually still coding where, like, now you can just write in the WordPress or whatever platform you use in the CMS and post. Back then, I actually had to put the code between the paragraphs to, you know, put certain things to make sure. A two-paragraph story would probably take literally an hour and a half after coding and making sure. Because if you make one mistake, it messes up the formatting and the look of the article. So I had to learn that way. So it was a blessing to me when I had to write less. And I got to a point where, as long as I got to the meat of it, and even back then with magazine writing, when you wrote for magazines, it was typically maybe 800, 1,000 words, depending on the magazine. So you had to find a way to stretch something to, you know, make it as long as it was. And I think when people started writing, magazine writers started writing for the web, they continued that process. I hated it. I hated transcribing. I still hate transcribing to this day. But when I started doing my own thing, I found a way to just basically do it, get the point across. And once people see that they get the meat of the story right away, I think they appreciated it more than having to look through like 900 words to get to, well, how did Biggie get into this? You know, I might do it within 100 words. Other people may have taken 500 words to get into it. So for me, I saw it as a blessing to write shorter, because I even have a short attention span when it comes to online. Reading magazines, it was always expected. You know, you might be reading it on the train, on a bus, in a bathroom, wherever you're doing it, you're anticipating taking the time to read it. Online, especially now where there are so many different sites and so many different sources, where you don't even have to, like, you can find a story, and if it is a story that's 700 words versus 300 words to get to the same thing, more than likely people are going to get to the 300 word one because they have to get on with their day. So that's how I see with the brevity of writing within those 200 words and getting the point across.
Now, in order to develop traffic and to drive content, what are you including or excluding from these shorter pieces to make them effective in that sense?
Well, to me, even before like Google started doing their ratings and crawling and things of that nature, for me, I always looked at it like what will bring people to read it, keep their attention for as long as I can, and have them interested in wanting more. And I think that I don't have a particular formula. For me, it's just gut feeling. And I guess I've been lucky where it's worked for me, because when people have asked me, like, how do I end up drawing people, I think it also has to do with my personality sometimes. My personality comes across when I write. Well, specifically more so for the Institute Cosign than for Black Enterprise. Because for Black Enterprise, I have to be a little more professional because of the Black Enterprise. But at the same time, they still allow me to be who I am in my writing, because even when I first started writing, I would get tips on how to write for the audience. But what ended up happening was each time that I did write for Black Enterprise, traffic has risen. And I tell people it's not a coincidence. And every time I've left, traffic has gone down. Now, I'm not going to, you know, take all the credit, but at the same time, I know what I like to, I know what I like to read and what captures me. So I try to do that, so that way the people reading anything that I put my name to will have the same feeling. So I don't have a direct formula, but that is just a feeling.
So what is it when you approach a story now, even you're well down the road and you're polished now, what is it that you, what grabs you in a story? What makes you want to tell that part of the story? What are you looking for?
It's not complicated, but it's not simple. Sometimes it's just a matter of like what I think people would be interested in. Of course, sometimes, you know, Black Enterprise, they'll, you know, feed me some stories to write, but typically, I also think that, like, I just wrote, I think it's sometimes headlines can draw people in, and I try to make the headline something where people would want to read it as opposed to the reason for it. I definitely don't try to do anything that's either controversial or something that will make people, or like what people would call clickbait. I think it's just a matter of finding things that I think people would want to read or be interested in, even if it's for 2 minutes. So, like I said, there's no exact science to how I look at it. And I know some people do look at it, or they find certain things, even at Black Enterprise, like they'll look at certain things and say, okay, we need to do this because this, that, and the other. For me, it's just, I mean, I don't know if it's luck or timing, but for me, sometimes it's just a feeling. And I've been on a good streak where, you know, typically, like, my stories usually, you know, gain the most traffic on a weekly basis. Like, since I've been back, and I think the 7 months I've been back, I think there's only been maybe 3 weeks where my story wasn't the top traffic, wasn't the top one. So I pride myself on, whether it's Black Enterprise assigning the story to me or me finding it, I do pride myself on making sure that whatever it is, people would want to come back and see it. If not that particular story, at least something that I've written.
Now, I want to talk about Industry Cosign. I mean, that's an amazing looking website. It has the look and feel of a tabloid magazine, or a tabloid newspaper. Is that what you were going for?
No, and the only reason why I say that is because I guess because tabloid sounds so.
What has a negative connotation? But I'm looking at it from a more journalistic point of view.
But I guess,
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that. It has that look. No, I don't mean like the star or, you know, baby with four heads or aliens are coming, that kind of thing, or Kennedy's still alive. I don't mean that kind of tabloid. I just mean more purely as a tabloid style.
Well, when I actually found that particular design, now for the first 5-6 years, my ex-partner, he actually designed the site. I let him do what he felt was necessary, and it always worked. Once I started doing it, like, I run into Chico San by myself, and I have for the past 12 years. And whenever I did, like, I've had several designers who have done stuff. But more recently, even with the ones that I just recently did, it took me months to find a design that I felt would capture what I would like for people to see when they get to it. And this particular design, like, for me, it was just a matter of how did it look and how did it feel. I had several other designs that I went with, but I was like, I just didn't like it. And then when I got to this one, I'm like, wow, I kind of like this more. So I think that this is the best that it's looked since, like, I took control over the look of it. So I don't have any particular, and the only bad thing about me is that sometimes I go with gut. I go by what feels right as opposed to having a particular technique. And with this particular design, it just hit me. I just love the way that I was able to have different sections that the richness of the site. Because there are some sites where I feel like they're doing too much. I don't think that on my site is doing too much because I have so much to give, where I want people to have the opportunity to see different things as opposed to just 3 or 4 particular things.
Well,
so I try to make it as well-rounded as I can be.
The thing, it's a beautiful looking site, but beyond that,
thank you.
Your byline is everywhere. I think you're the only contributor. That's an amazing volume of work. How do you do that?
Passion. I mean, and real talk, I'm not even doing as much as I want to do, you know, but I also feel that my mother told me and my brothers growing up that you have two things, your name and your word. So if anybody sees the name Cedric Thornton or Big Sad, I want them to realize that they're going to get what it is that they're looking for. And if they don't know what they're looking for, they're going to see that it's going to be rich in whatever it is that they're looking for when it comes to content, specifically with, Black media. And people have asked me over the years, how come I don't do rumors and, you know, gossip? My feelings with that is, one, we have enough of that. We have enough of that. We have enough of those sites, enough of those publications where I don't have to do gossip. When I first started writing, even with Impact Magazine and Vibe, people used to give me tips on what they were doing or what they were about to do, which made it better for me than to just report rumors. And I've worked with certain publications that wanted me to do it, and I didn't want to do it, and I held my ground because I didn't want my name to be associated with just, you know, and sometimes some of the things that you read about are either false or greatly exaggerated, and I never want to be a part of that because I have some type of integrity that I wanted to uphold for myself, that I don't have to worry that I'm walking down the street. Living in New York, like, I'm in the midst of all the people that we talk about or report. I mean, there was one time years ago when Flex was accused of hitting Steph Lover, and I did something based on that, but based on the truth. And like, people like was at me like, well, how can you say this? How can I say that? And I stood behind everything I said. And I've always said to people that whatever I write or whatever I report, I have to stand by, because there are too many people that's just going to put things up just to put things up to try to get the traffic. I'm not about that. I'm about gaining people's trust and just spreading whatever word that needs to be spread in a positive way. We have too many negative things going on where I don't want to be involved in that at all.
Well, I don't blame you. Have you written a story and then been concerned about your own safety after writing the story?
Never. And the reason why I say that is because if I'm reporting on the truth or speaking about something that's factual, even if it's against somebody that, you know, with a bad reputation, I'm going on facts. So I also have this mindset where I stand behind everything I write. I've had situations where even at Black Enterprise, where they wanted me to write about something, and I didn't want to do it because, one, I either felt that it wasn't conducive to whatever it is that they were trying to convey, or I just felt like I can't stand behind something that I don't believe in. So that's why I never worry about, even if I've written about something, or especially being that my whole background has been in hip hop. So, of course, having to deal with, you know, that on that level, I've never felt threatened or anything. And to this day, I will never do anything that I would feel like I would have to be, I would have to feel like I couldn't walk around based on what I've written.
Right. Right. I understand. Now, I mean, you have been really a prolific producer of content. And I know that you have some organic gut feelings about things, but if you're going to advise another writer, how would you encourage someone or instruct someone to develop content that creates traffic?
They have to be, what I would suggest to a writer is whatever they are passionate about is what they should chase, because they would realize the truth and what it is that they're doing. Or even if it's not the truth, they'd have to realize that they have to stand behind whatever it is that they're writing. Or if they're doing something for the purpose of either gaining traffic or gaining a certain audience, they have to be true to what it is, even if it's to gossip or what it is, and have to understand the pitfalls that comes with it if they're reporting rumors or gossip and they're disrespecting somebody. Like, you're talking about somebody's personal life. And, you know, I always tell people, you have to treat the subject the way you want to be treated. Because if you're reporting on something that can hurt somebody in a short or long run, and you feel comfortable doing that, then you have to expect whatever blowback that comes with it. Or, excuse this noise in the background. Or if it's a situation where somebody reports something on them and they could be comfortable with somebody coming after them because of what was written about them, then I say go for it. But also understand the dangers behind whatever it is that you're doing. So in order to build an audience, you have to know, you have the first one in gaining an audience, you have to realize what it is that you're trying to gain and who you're trying to gain it from. And then putting yourself in position to promote in that fashion. A lot of people, a lot of writers don't promote what they write. Anything that I ever write about, you will see somewhere on the internet because I'm going to promote it. I've always been that way. I will always be that way. And I think that's what the thing is with me. And a lot of people approach me because they know that if they come upon my Facebook page or LinkedIn or wherever, whatever I've written is going to be publicized. I know writers who just write, submit, and go about their business. Now, that's on them, and it's okay. Some people get lucky where they get following based on what they write about or who they write about or what direction they're going in. Me, it's always been organic for me because I think people have been following me since I started Industry Co-Style, because I always want people to know exactly what I'm doing, where I'm at. And that's another reason why I don't do or report anything that I can't defend, because you can find me anywhere. If anyone ever says that they can't get in touch with me, they're not trying at all, because I'm on every major social media platform. I mean, anybody can reach out to me. Anybody can find me. And I'm not hiding from anyone. So I always tell people that the best advice that I can give is basically know what you're doing, know what you're getting into, and have a passion that you know that you can follow through without feeling a certain way. Some people aren't built for this. And when they realize, I've had people say to me that, like, their content is better than mine or what they're doing is better than me, and yet I don't see them doing anything lately. If nothing else, even during my downtime, I was still doing things. And I think that's what people can definitely, it can be verified that I was still doing. Even if I don't feel like doing anything, I'm going to do something because I want people to realize that I'm still doing something, because that's what I want, not because anyone else wants me to do it. That's the best advice that I can give.
Thank you for that too. How are you using social media platforms, and which platforms to you in your mind are rising or more effective at certain things. How do you approach that?
I mean, at one point in time, I tried to be at the cusp of what was coming up and then just trying to, I mean, Twitter, like every social media platform I'm on now, I was using it when no one else knew about it. I've been kind of lax with that nowadays because one, there's too many choices, too many different ones, and I can't keep up with everything. Like I was on TikTok for one, but then I'm like, that's not a platform that works for me because I'm, you know, that's not the type of content that I'm putting out. But I just try to keep up with what's going on. And even with my reporting and whatever I do, whatever I write, I come across different tools. I've seen people using Linktree writers. Like I literally just signed up for a Linktree account, which gives you the opportunity to put all the links that you've done for any property you've written for in one particular platform. And I literally just got on that. And I know that's been around, but I've seen it. But now it makes sense for me to use it because of the stuff that I'm doing. And even if I've had people contacting me, asking me if I can write or freelancing for other properties. And of course, I'm primarily doing the Industry Cosign and Black Enterprise right now, but I do know that people have been contacting me. So now I'm using Linktree in order for them to see what I've done and what I'm doing. But I haven't been as on top of newer platforms recently. And maybe that's because I'm just older and I'm just not as active as I have been. And it's funny that to hear me say that I'm not as active when I'm very active, but I'm not as active as I used to be where I was on top of everything, knowing what was going on. But I also have a different viewpoint and different goal in mind than I had previously. But I am on top of certain things because people are always contacting me, or even other services are contacting me so that way I can promote what they're doing as far as their social media platform.
So you're doing Facebook, you mentioned LinkedIn, Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
Those the go-to for you?
The go-to, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot that aspect of it. LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are like my go-tos. Right. With good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And then how do you use Instagram, say, differently than you would use Facebook? Obviously, it's picture photo-driven, but...
I actually don't, and that's the funny thing because I know people use different platforms for different things, but I think that based on the following I've had on each platform, I've realized that maybe it's because of what I do. Like people always ask me, how come I don't use my Instagram more so for personal reasons, posting pictures of me going out or things of that nature? And I've always said to them that I've had my time where I wanted my face to be everywhere and I wanted everybody to know who I am. I've gone past that phase, so it doesn't make that big of a difference for me. So for me, it's strictly to promote the content. And when I was doing parties, I was also a party promoter. When I was doing parties, I was also a platform. All of them, of course, were. But Instagram, of course, since it's more about visuals, I still use it for the same purpose I use for Twitter, Facebook. And for me, they're all on equal footing for the purposes that I'm using for. But I know that people have always asked me specifically with Instagram, how come I don't post more about me? Coincidentally, I think because of the quarantine and with D-Nice doing the Facebook Live and now everyone utilizing that, I've been inundated with people saying, you need to be on Facebook Live, this, that, and other. So I've already said I'm going to do it. I've said this 3 weeks ago. I just haven't done it yet. And that's how I am. Once I do something, I'm like a runaway train. I can't stop. It's just a matter of once I get to the point. I don't like jumping on a bandwagon for anything. And people are telling me that I shouldn't look at it as jumping on a bandwagon, but just having a different platform to utilize. So I'm like, okay, I can look at it from that aspect. But at the same time, it's got to be something I want to do, not something that everybody wants me to do, for me to actually do it. But I am going to hop on Instagram Live eventually, and I'll probably get addicted, and I'll probably be on it on a daily basis, and people getting sick of seeing my face, but, you know.
Well,
that's my viewpoint.
Well, I think that those things, I think what you're talking about in terms of what your approach is important because as an insider, you have a deeper insight about how to use those things than most other people doing it. It's, you're not doing it randomly either. So I think people need to
for me, and sorry to cut you off, for me, it's not vanity at all, because most people are using it for vanity purposes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. For me, I just see it in that vein where when I want to use it for vanity purposes, believe me, I'm going to, and I'm going to get to a point where, you know, people are going to get sick of seeing me, but not in a bad way, but just saying, wow, this guy is doing everything.
Right. Well, Cedric, I appreciate you spending a half hour of your time with me and my audience on Open Source, man. I think everybody ought to check out Cedric Big Seg Thornton. Big Sed is on Black Enterprise right now and the industry cosign. And how else can people reach you, Cedric?
Every social platform, you just put a search in for Big Sed and you'll be able to reach me. Facebook, Cedric Big Sed Thornton. The industry, well, industrycosign.com, just go straight there. Instagram, BigSed328. Twitter is BigSed, BIGCED. I feel like LinkedIn, Cedric Big Sed Thornton. And I hate when people say Google me, but I, you know, it's also simple. Like I said, any social media site you go to, you put in Big Sed, more than likely you'll get me. Hopefully you'll get me. Hopefully I'm that popular where my name will come up. I know there's been some rappers named Big Sed recently that have been popping up on my timeline and people have been mistaking me for. But you can definitely reach me out, and I'm very easy to get in contact with. And I appreciate you giving me this time to actually speak. And I guess that's it as far as that's concerned.
All right. Well, it is. We're done. But I appreciate you, man. Hey, check out Big Sed. Check out Black Enterprise. Definitely check out Industry Cosign. Big Cedric, Big Sed Thornton. This is Open Source with Tony Motley. Like it, share it, tell your friends. Thanks for listening. Open Source with Tony Motley is a production of Duet Digital Media and McLaughlin Media.